This is Joanna Schrader reporting Domestic Fuel, and I'm with David Elzenbast with REG. David, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Well, it's only been a week since we've spoken, but today was very exciting. You hosted USDA Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, along with the EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson here at your plant. And you actually hosted some other biofuels producers as well. So the first question to ask, David, is what are the synergies between biodiesel and ethanol and even the advanced fuels that are coming down the pipeline?
Well, there's a lot of synergies and growing synergies. And one of the items that you heard mentioned today was something that is becoming much more common in the ethanol industry and creating a feedstock, a new and growing feedstock for our industry, biodiesel. And that's the separation of free oil, corn oil, out of the DDGs and creating a feedstock that can be sold to the biodiesel industry for us to convert into biodiesel. And as you know, our industry is always looking for new commercialized feedstocks to meet our growing renewable fuel standard requirements for biodiesel. We are trying to produce nearly 800 million gallons of biodiesel this year. And we typically use the traditional feedstocks of animal fats, waste cooking oil, and, of course, soybean oil. And we've been working now for several years with the ethanol industry to create a market, and a market that has good value for the ethanol producer, to provide a reason for them to separate the oil out of the DDGs and sell that to the biodiesel industry. And we're really seeing that widely now moving throughout the industry. POET recently announced probably 2 weeks ago that they're going to put this system into all of their plants, and that's just great news for our industry.
So, David, you're working with the ethanol industry quite closely. Many people don't realize that. But over time, how have you found corn oil and some of these, what people would consider next-generation feedstocks, been working in terms of producing biodiesel? Are they harder to convert? Are they easier to convert? How does that work?
It's harder to convert. There are components in the oil, waxes and sterols and free fatty acids. The free fatty acids are part of the oil due to the heat that happens to the oil as it goes through the fermentation process. But REG has put into many of our plants the ability to pre-treat difficult-to-use fats and oils so that we can make them biodiesel-ready. We pre-treat them and refine them, remove the waxes and the sterols and the free fatty acids that are difficult for us to convert, and make a biodiesel-ready triglyceride in which we transesterify into biodiesel. And we have that capability today, and we have plenty of capacity. And so we look forward to the time where the industry, the ethanol industry, puts this throughout all of their plants. And as more and more corn oil comes onto the market, the biodiesel industry will step up, as we have stepped up in the past, and put in more production capability that can deal with corn oil.
So the EPA was here. Obviously, they're administering the RVOs, making sure that obligated parties are fulfilling their obligation. But from an environmental perspective as well, when we look at feedstocks such as corn oil, do they have environmental benefits over some of the other feedstocks that the industry has used in the past several years?
Yes, it does, Joanne. And I want to say that as we think about carbon credits or low carbon fuel standards in places that are developing, such as California, they are starting to rank biodiesel based on their carbon intensity scores. And I'm really happy to say that many of the feedstocks that we use are the lowest ranked carbon intensity of all feedstocks on the market. And corn oil is one of the lowest, if not the lowest, carbon intensity rated feedstocks that we can convert into biodiesel, which is another great reason why we love to use corn oil as a feedstock, as well as another example is use cooking oil.
So, David, you have you need to produce at least 800 million gallons of biodiesel this year as an industry. How is your feedstock outlook looking? Can the industry, from a capacity standpoint, can achieve that? But from a feedstock capacity, do you feel confident that you can achieve that?
Yes, to both questions. The industry has certified with EPA 2.2 billion gallons worth of biodiesel capacity that is certified and able to run to meet the 800 million gallon RFS2 requirement for 2011. So obviously the biodiesel capacity is there. And in the past, from a feedstock standpoint, is the feedstock available to produce that much? In the past, we have produced nearly 790 million gallons probably about 2 or 3 years ago. And we did that with soybean oil and the animal fat markets. And today, we have a broader scope of feedstocks in which to use. We still have all the animal fats from pork and cattle and poultry, and more we're use cooking oil, waste greases from the restaurant industry. That's become a very significant feedstock for us. And now here over the last 2 to 3 years, we've had the development of the corn oil. Well, we feel very comfortable that the feedstock supplies are there to support the 800 million gallon requirement this year, and as we grow it up to a billion gallons in 2012, again, we feel the industry has plenty of feedstock to meet the EPA requirements.
So from Administrator Jackson's perspective as being involved in this meeting, how do you think your message resonated with her? Do you feel that she will stand the course on behalf of the biodiesel industry to ensure success? Do you think she feels more comfortable about the opportunity that you have in front of you?
I think Administrator Jackson heard the message that there is biodiesel capacity there to meet the requirements. She heard the message that there is feedstock there to produce it into biodiesel. And I think she heard the message that the obligated parties should be stepping up to the market and attempting to buy biodiesel in more of a ratable month-in, month-out fashion, as opposed to pushing it to the end of the year and trying to buy it all in a short amount of time. If the industry does buy ratable, that will probably be reflected in more moderately priced RINs. Renewable identification numbers, which is what the obligated parties have to acquire when they buy biodiesel, showing EPA that they have met their required obligation.
So, David, now that EPA and USDA is confident in the fact that the industry has enough feedstock, that you have enormous capabilities to produce the required gallons of biodiesel under RFS and other mandates, what's REG's next step?
The next step is what we do every day. We come in, and our company, employees of REG, come in every day wanting to make more biodiesel, to run our plants at optimal run rates, to deliver biodiesel to the United States and the market. And it's the tough blocking and tackling that we try to do every day as a company to support American jobs, to buy American raw materials, to make the environment a better place. It's what we do every day, and we all in our industry enjoy those challenges.
Great, thank you.